This is the weekend across the diocese that women religious and men are speaking in the masses. And this morning, as I gather here with you, I'm happy to share part of my story. I am sure there's no one here in this church who has not packed a suitcase. Boys and girls, I'm sure there are many of you who've packed your little toys, your dolls, your games when you went somewhere. Teenagers, how many times have you packed your sports clothes? How many times the drill team, the band members have packed their clothes? And how many times have our college kids going back and forth from school to home have packed a suitcase? And we're all going somewhere. We're going to ball games, we're going to visit grandpa or grandma, or we're taking a most needed vacation, or we're moving to another place for a better job. And I like to think of this as a journey. When I first packed my one suitcase to enter religious life in 1958, I was going somewhere. I too had a good reason for going. God had been good to me, and I wanted to do something good for God. God didn't tell me, though, I'd end up in Dodge City, or I might have changed my mind. Really, I'm just kidding you. Well, what was interesting about my call to religious life, to the consecrated life, was that I never wanted to be a sister. I wanted to be a priest, like Father Ted. I had my altar in the woods. I was on the farm, and I played priest all the time. I even got some of Dad's pipes of different sizes, and that acted as my candles that I could sit up on the altar. After high school, I went 1 year to St. Mary the Plains here in Dodge and commuted back and forth to Spearville, from Spearville. I didn't like that because I had no social life. After the first year, I didn't go back to school. I took a job here in Dodge at the ASC office. I liked the people in the office and the job, but I knew I didn't want to spend the rest of my life working in an office. I went back to college because a dear friend of mine, Ellie Basco, which many of you probably know, invited me to attend Marymount where she was teaching. My whole life took a change. I was happy there. I was on my own, and I met a young man from the Air Force, and I fell in love. I made a retreat at Marymount, and the calling became much clearer to me that God wanted me to be a sister. I kept hearing that voice, I should become a sister, and I'd say, oh no, I can't do that. God, you can't be asking me to give up John and tell my folks, tell my brothers, tell all the girls at college, oh, they wouldn't think that was very cool. Telling you makes me remember that fear in my life was the demon that was mentioned in the gospel that needed to be driven out, that had hold of me because of fear. So I was afraid to tell anyone, but I finally did after much prayer. They knew me too well. I was afraid they would make fun of me because they knew I liked parties, and which I still do. They knew I was in love with John. They knew I liked my independence. And I knew myself that I didn't think I was a very prayerful person. But I know many of you, maybe all of you, have battled with making a serious decision. What college should I attend? Should I go to college? Shall I change jobs? Or shall we move? For some of you who left your homes to go into an independent living home, those were very serious decisions. And the list goes on. You too know what it's like to make serious changes in your life. It is with prayer and the grace of God that we come to make the decision and to come to peace. All throughout Scripture, we read about the struggle to follow God's call, to follow God's plan. The prophets would say, but I stutter. The other one would say, I'm too young. And Samuel, whom we heard about several weeks ago at Mass, took four callings before he finally listened to God. And Paul got knocked down to the ground, and Peter denied him, and Sarah was too old to bear a son. My hardest decision, of course, was to tell John. And after we went out on a date, it was the moment that I needed to explain to him that I felt God was calling me to follow the religious life. But I'll never forget his words. He looked at me and he said, "Rosemary, I'd rather lose you to God than some other man." So I knew then that God was really, really calling me and leading me to make that decision. So my prayers were being answered one more time. Looking back at my life, praying had always been a part of my life. My parents were strong, had a strong faith. We always went to church. I had a Catholic school education. We prayed at home as a family. We prayed the rosary. We prayed meal prayers, morning and evening prayers. We prayed during Lent. That leads me now to my first point about the aspect of consecrated life, and that is prayer. We women religious throughout the history were formed in all types of prayer. As consecrated women, we are to rediscover through prayer and meditation how to follow Jesus, the chaste, pure, and obedient one. That means today, in today's world, our witness must be radically different than it was in the past. We are called each day to set aside time for prayer, solitude, to be with Jesus, to listen. We know from the scriptures that Jesus often took time away for prayer. And I also know that from visiting with so many of you, you also take time for prayer. And I want you to know that your inspiration, your telling me these things, are a great help to me to stay committed to my prayer life. Another point, the second point in addition to prayer, is that we know that Jesus was always with his disciples in community. So community life is another aspect of consecrated prayer, consecrated life. Men and women consecrated their lives to God with the support of a caring, nurturing community. And that is essential to the chosen vocation of my life. In community life, we share our hopes and dreams. We live by decisions made by the members of the community, and we support one another as we live out the kingdom of God here on earth. Each different religious congregation has their own charism that was established by their founders or foundresses. I am a Dominican with OP behind my name, which means Order of Preachers. We were founded to proclaim the truth through our preaching. So, that's my excuse. If you hear me preaching and I'm preaching to you, just know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. The third point about consecrated life is we are to be beacons of hope in an increasingly secular world, a world which doubt and confusion cloud over the light that comes from Jesus Christ. We are to be visible witnesses to the gospel message of Jesus by professing the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Poverty means that I freely relinquish my ownership and control of property. Chastity means that I'm free to love every person, not just one. And obedience means that I freely choose to live interdependent, that I give myself totally to God. Did I know all this when I entered religious life? No. I grew into my responsibility. I only doubted my vocation one time. I was in the second year of my religious life, and I went to the Mother Superior, as she was called then, and said, "It's too hard. I cannot do this. I just cannot live this life any longer. It is just too strict." And at this point, I had been 2 years at the Mother House. I had not gone anywhere. I had not driven a car. And I had not even had a Snickers candy bar. And remember, I had been on my own before I entered for 4 years. I was 22 years old when I entered. And Mother Francesca said to me, "Sister, don't decide now. Let's pray about it. Let's pray a novena." So we did. And again, God heard my prayer, and here I am. My first 11 years were lived before Vatican II. And those were extremely difficult years for me. It was so very, very strict. It set us apart from the real world. After Vatican II, it was in the late 60s, All religious communities made great changes in the way they lived out their consecrated life. The fourth point in consecrated life, and my final point, when I began my talk with you, I asked you about packing a suitcase and going somewhere. Well, this journey that I'm on is called ministry. It is the time in the ministry that I've been on for 47 years. Religious life takes me many places to minister with God's people. And I want you to notice I said minister with God's people. I don't minister to you. You also minister to me. And that is such a great support when we can minister to one another. I was first educated to be a teacher in the Catholic school. Then I was a directress and teacher at an all-girls boarding school living with 58 teenagers. Anybody want to challenge that? I then was trained as a director of CCD or PSR and ministered in parishes for 12 years. From there, I was hired by the Dodge City Diocese as director of aging and parenting. I traveled and ministered in the 57 parishes of the diocese for 3 years. 1 month, I decided, I wonder how many places I stay at in a month's time. In this particular month, I stayed in 15 different places. I want to tell you that sometimes my room was in a little girl's room, and there'd be little teddy bears all around and little dolls all around. Next time, I'd be in another room, and there'd be big posters of famous basketball players and football players. The next time, I might be staying in the basement or out in the front room. And I remember telling my family at Christmas time, I wrote a letter and I said, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I don't know where I'm at. But I said, if I ever wake up and don't know who I am, I'm getting out of this work. During the months of June and July, because I only have a 10-month contract, I have been able to offer myself in ministry at soup kitchens, worked on farms doing organic gardening, volunteered with Habitat for Humanity in Americus, Georgia, building a house alongside Jimmy and Rosalind Carter, taught the poor black children in Alabama, painted houses in southern Colorado for the elderly poor, worked in Hereford, Texas with Hispanic women, and as so many of you know, I ministered in Zambia, Africa for 6 months. And my most recent ministry was last summer when some of you from the parish here went with me to New Orleans and to Greensburg to help rebuild houses. In my closing, just as I've shared part of my story with you, you also have your story. It doesn't matter if you are called to the single, married, or consecrated life, or single again. You can make a difference. God calls each of us to be faithful on our journey. And when we are, we find peace and happiness. So keep your suitcase handy. I'm very grateful to God for calling me to religious life, for calling me to this parish. You are wonderful people to be with. I hope you know I pray for you every day, and I hope you'll do the same for me.
Thank you very much, sister. Thank you.